It is 1:30. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We are breaking into our regular programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. We heard at yesterday's briefing with Governor Hutchinson and state health officials, there were a total of 1,923 confirmed cases of the coronavirus in the state, with 42 people having died from COVID-19. The latest update from the Arkansas Department of Health shows just under 2,000 total cases. That exact number is 1,990, and the number of deaths unchanged this hour at 42. We also heard yesterday a total of about 600 inmates at the Cummins Unit State Prison near Pine Bluff. About 600 inmates there had tested positive for the virus. That's a little over 9 days after the first inmate tested positive there. And shortly after that, nearly all of the other inmates that were housed in the same barracks as that inmate also tested positive. We also heard today the American Civil Liberties Union and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund and a few other law firms are seeking a temporary restraining order against Governor Hutchinson and the state. That's on behalf of the prisoners at the Cummins Unit and in the state's prison system over what those institutions call inadequate measures to prevent the transmission of COVID-19 in the state's prison system. And again, that's about 600 inmates total at the Cummins Unit that have tested positive. That's just about a third of the entire caseload we have seen as a state in total here in Arkansas. And again, that number, the latest update from the health department, 1,990 cases of the coronavirus with 42 deaths. We heard yesterday there were also 93 people hospitalized. We heard that of that number, that nearly 2,000 total case number, yesterday about 1,133 of those are active. It's almost certain that that number will increase today because we've added some new cases. Yesterday, there were 244 healthcare workers that had been infected by the coronavirus. Also, 128 residents of nursing homes in the state. We've also heard that there are 93 people hospitalized as of yesterday. 24 of those people were on a ventilator. Also, health officials saying that a total of 749 people in Arkansas have recovered from the coronavirus. And again, you're listening to live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR News and Culture for Arkansas. And yesterday, again, the big news that a sharp increase in cases had happened at a state prison, a maximum security prison near Pine Bluff, the Cummins Unit. About 600 inmates there have tested positive just about 9 days after the first inmate there had tested positive for the coronavirus. Secretary of Health Dr. Nate Smith yesterday saying that most of those inmates are asymptomatic at this time, but they are testing asymptomatic people in congregate settings like prisons. Yesterday, Smith also saying that he said about three inmates at the Cummins Unit have been hospitalized with COVID-19. He also said, you know, a prison is the toughest and the easiest place for an outbreak, in his words, that it is hard to control the spread of it once it is in that congregate setting, but it is also, of course, very easy to control the movements of inmates in a state prison, in any prison setting, to prevent any further spread of that. And again, today we heard the ACLU, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, and other law firms are seeking a restraining order, a temporary restraining order against the state over what they say are inadequate conditions in the state's prison system that have led to or caused this sharp rise in coronavirus cases that we are seeing in the state's prison system. We have also heard, we did not get an update yesterday on these situations, but we have also heard the presence of coronavirus in a federal prison in Forest City over there in eastern Arkansas. That response to that is essentially being handled by the federal government, by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They've been sending a team to Forest City to help mitigate the spread there. We also heard a number of cases at Arkansas Community Correction that's based in Little Rock. I believe it was about 100 cases of coronavirus there, a little under that, perhaps. And again, the largest number of cases, about 600 inmates at the Cummins Unit yesterday. Governor Hutchinson announced that 600 inmates there had tested positive. Not all of those numbers yesterday, at least, were included in the state's official tally. Health Secretary Nate Smith said that about 250 test results had come in overnight. They had been having some problems with the Veterans Affairs Hospital, the McClellan VA Hospital here in Little Rock. They had been doing a lot of testing of inmates at the Cummins unit, processing those coronavirus tests, and just some sort of issue with communication between the health department and the VA hospital had also prevented some numbers of inmates testing positive being actually included in the state's total number of cases. Again, that total number, the latest update from the health department, 1,990 cases. That is up from 1,923 yesterday. Again, the number of deaths, at least at this hour, are unchanged at 42, the number of deaths from COVID-19 in Arkansas. We could see that number go up. We have heard that number change at many of these daily briefings that the governor and Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith have been having. We also heard yesterday that today would be the first meeting of Governor Asa Hutchinson's Economic Recovery Task Force that is headed by Stuart Walton, just looking at ways to boost the state's economy. And now we go live to Governor Asa Hutchinson.
Hey, Eddie. Thank you for joining me this afternoon for our daily COVID-19 update. I'm, as always, joined by Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of the Department of Health. And today I'm also joined by Stuart Walton, who will be speaking a little bit later. He is our chairman of our Economic Recovery Task Force, and they had their first meeting today, so I'm looking forward to a report from him. First, in regard to our case update, yesterday we had 1,923 cases in Arkansas. That today is up 304 cases. That brings the total to 2,227 cases in the state. If you break that down, the 304 new cases, 262 of those new cases are out of Cummins, maximum security unit, and that leaves 42 that are outside of Cummins that are the statewide perspective. If you look at hospitalizations, our hospitalizations yesterday were 93. Today they're down 7. We have 86 in the hospital for COVID-19 at the present time. Deaths are up 1. We now have 43 deaths in Arkansas. If we'll go to the charts, I just want to go through these in the fashion in which we've done the last couple days. First, these are the number of new COVID cases by day here in Arkansas. And as you can see today, well, this was actually yesterday, which is 420 is the last column. Today's numbers will be entered tomorrow, and you'll see it on the chart. So we're one day behind here, but that last one is 420, and that was reflecting the 300 new cases yesterday. Today it'll be very similar with 304 new cases. The color differentiation is the difference between those in Cummins or in the prison units versus those that are statewide. If you go to the next chart, you'll see the 7-day rolling average. This is something that I used yesterday, and this is for all of the cases in Arkansas, 7-day average, so that it gives you a good perspective. And so the bars are the same one you saw a moment ago, the new cases each day, and then the line graph that goes across it is the 7-day rolling average. And as you can see, the numbers are going up, largely reflecting because of the outbreak in the Cummins prison. If you go to the next slide, this is the 7-day rolling average, excluding the correctional facilities. You see a different trend line, of course, that 7-day rolling average, which is the line that you see peaking and then coming back down. I thought it'd be interesting today also to see a little bit county by county. We've done a number of counties, but I just wanted to give it for illustrative purposes. And so if we go to the next one, this is Pulaski County, and this is a little bit different because these are positive cases by date of specimen collection. versus the time that they're reported. So a little bit of a distinction in how this is done. And this is Pulaski County. And these, of course, over here, you've got to be careful because the top line here is 62 cases. So the scale is different when you see a high bar. And you can see here's 10 as you go across. These are new cases in Pulaski County. And of course, you can see the very high mark whenever we had, I believe that was the community corrections, in which we had a number of cases reported that day, but they were high otherwise as well. And but since then, it's been on the right trend and direction downward. If you go to the next slide, you'll see another county here in Central Arkansas where we had our first case in Jefferson County. Again, this is 12, this is 2, and so there are smaller proportions here, but our height was 12 new cases. That was in March. And then since then, the cases have been more steady. And of course, in the last few days, you can see this is, fewer than 2 is right here. And so the last 3 days, I believe it is, fewer than 2 cases in Jefferson County, going on the right trend line. The next county is Garland County, just picking out another one here in Central Arkansas area, South Arkansas. And here the top line is about 17 of new cases. This goes back to March 14th. Some days there were not any new cases. And you can see toward the end, since about the last week, there's been the height of about three cases here, 2 cases, and then it looks like 1 case for each of those other days there. And so you can see in the different counties a different perspective in terms of where they are geographically in terms of the spread as well. And I think that's all the counties I have there. Thank you. And we've looked at a few other counties. The trend lines are really the same in terms of going down in terms of the new cases, but Dr. Smith and his teams examines that to that level of detail. I did want to comment that I have signed the executive order today creating the working group on testing capacity in Arkansas. This is something that I've acknowledged from day one, that we have to do more testing. We are challenged in terms of our reagents and our supply line, and it is getting better. But we need to continue to grow not just what we do in terms of contact tracing capability for testing, but also in terms of surveillance, where we can see where we are brought more broadly in the population, Arkansas. And so this is a clear objective I've had from day one, acknowledging that we need to do more testing. And for that reason, I've convened this working group of testing experts and officials and doctors in the different hospitals here in Central Arkansas and other places that are doing testing. I hope that through this we can have some short-term goals in order to enhance the testing quickly here in the state of Arkansas, determine what are the challenges in the supply chain so that we can continue to address those. And then thirdly, look long-term goals as well as looking at next fall, we're still gonna have a need for testing in Arkansas. We worry about this coming back whenever we get it at the right spot this season. We worry about the future, and so we wanna continue to have that testing capability. And we face a challenge in the state of Arkansas and when you look at the new cases, just prepare everybody that there's going to be more new cases in Cummins, and there's going to be more new cases in Forest City Federal Correctional Institute in coming days. We understand that. We're doing that level of testing because it's critical for the health and safety of the inmates that are there, but also the staff as well as the community. So we're continuing to do that. But we'll see that continued increase in the numbers in the next couple of days, I would expect. With that, I invite Dr. Smith to come and make his comments.
This is Nate Smith, Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health.
Thank you, Governor. I will give some details on the numbers that the governor shared in just a moment, but I want to give my perspective as a public health physician and an epidemiologist, sort of the three pieces of good news that the governor shared. The first is that if you take out the positives from the correctional system, our numbers of new cases are going down. Last week we were looking at consistently about 70 a day, and now we're looking at on average about half that. So that's a good sign that we're hopefully on the downswing in terms of community transmission of COVID-19. That's very, very encouraging for me. The second is that the governor showed the different counties, and these counties were selected because they're the ones that have more than 100 cases. And you can see that each of them has a little bit of a different pattern, and then there's a lot of noise, ups and downs, but none of them are on an upward trend. So we don't have any, I would be concerned if the state was doing well, but we had some hot spots that were on the upward trend. And then the third is, although these numbers from Cummins are alarming, once you know who's positive, who's negative, who's exposed, who's not exposed, a prison setting is probably the ideal setting to control an outbreak, because you can segregate people and you can restrict their movements. Their movements are restricted just by the nature of that setting. So having this number of individuals in a prison is easier to control than if we had that same number out in the community. Let me go ahead and go over those numbers that the governor shared with a little bit more detail. As he mentioned, we've had 304 new cases, of which 262 were from the Cummins unit. So our total case count is 2,227. Of those, 1,375 are active cases. Those include, of the total cases, those include 249 healthcare workers. That's five more than yesterday. They include 135 nursing home residents. That's up seven from yesterday. We now have 29 nursing homes where we have active investigations going on. We currently have 86 hospitalized. That's a net decrease of seven. We've had seven new hospitalized, but we've had 14 move out of the hospital. We have 27 currently on a ventilator. That's up three from yesterday. We have 43 deaths, which is one more than yesterday. And we have 809 recovered. That's 60 more than we had yesterday. In terms of those nursing home facilities, of the seven new positive residents, three were at a facility in Batesville, two at Willow Bend, one at Randolph County Nursing Home, and one at the Village at Valley Ranch. We've also had an increase of four new nursing home workers, and those were one each at Waters of Whitehall, LA Health and Rehab, Crest Park of Wynn, and the Village at Valley Ranch. Now, the big update is really from the Cummins unit. As of 10 o'clock last night, we had a total of 670 inmates who tested positive, and we've had at least 10 of the staff. We are finished testing the inmates, although we don't have all of those results resulted in our system yet, but we are testing staff now to make sure we don't miss any staff. So we may have additional staff tomorrow. We may have some additional inmates. As you can imagine, we had quite a few results come in by fax last night. We had our team working to sort those out really late into the night and early this morning. And With that, I'll go ahead and conclude my report and turn it back over to the governor.
Clearly, this is a health care challenge for us in Arkansas with a virus that is highly contagious and does kill people. And so we're addressing it in that fashion. But it's also an economic challenge for our state. And for that reason, I created the Economic Recovery Task Force. And I've asked Stuart Walton to lead that. Stuart is an entrepreneur. He's an innovator. He's in the hospitality industry, and he's the right one to be chair of this. We have about 40 of our good citizens across Arkansas that are engaged in a multitude of different industries involved in this. We had our first task force meeting today, led by Stuart Walton, and I wanted him to come and give a report as to that meeting and the direction we're going. Stuart?
This is Stuart Walton, chairman of the governor's Economic Recovery Task Force. He's also a director at Walmart.
Thank you, governor. I want to know where I can get a mask like yours, because mine's a little less flashy. But it's a privilege to be here and to support the state of Arkansas. As the governor said, just this morning we assembled a good number of Arkansans representing industry, communities, religious institutions from across the state. We initially created three committees led by cabinet secretaries from the state of Arkansas who will further divide and take on the important work of this task force. Secretary Stacy Hurst will lead the Committee on Tourism, Community, and Healthcare. Secretary Mike Preston will lead the Committee on Commerce. And Secretary Wes Ward will lead the Committee on Agriculture, Grocery, and Education. Informed by Dr. Smith and the work of the Department of Health, the task force is working hard to develop initial set of recommendations for Arkansas by May 4th, which I believe all you know is the date the governor set to begin reopening. Subsequent to that, our tentative plan is to produce an interim report by the end of May, and then a final report from the committee by the end of June. And now, in addition to the tactical recommendations that we plan to report and present to the governor from time to time, the committee is really going to be also focused on a strategic set of recommendations for businesses and industry across Arkansas that'll really help us thrive in the recovery and far into the future. I'm looking forward to the work ahead. Again, it's a privilege to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Stuart. And with that, we're happy to take any questions.
Governor, you showed the graph yesterday that showed Arkansas was about 60 to 90 tests per 1,000. Do you know exactly how that was calculated? Because looking at just the raw numbers, less than 1% of the state has been tested. So it just doesn't seem to add up.
Very good question. I actually brought this out here today just so people will see it again. That's what I think you're referencing that I showed yesterday. And this was taken from the briefing from the White House and their COVID-19 task force. And this, as you look at it, does strike you that is not referring to actual tests that are being done. And it appears that it could be speaking of capacity. And it cites as the sources four different commercial lab companies that are in the supply chain for Arkansas, and it refers to tests per month per 1,000 people by state. So yes, as I've indicated always before, we don't have sufficient tests in Arkansas. We need to do more. This does seem to go against that grain. The only explanation I can see is it might be referring to capacity that somehow the labs are referring to. We have a lot of different data points that we share here. This is one, and obviously we acknowledge that we've got to do a lot more in testing, and this does not reflect that.
That issue, do you have a certain number of tests you want to get to, and also any target in terms of positive cases that you want to get to before May 4th, like number of positives per day?
We haven't set that specific guideline. Of course, we have the guidelines that the White House provided for gating as to what you need to look at in terms of criteria for phase one. There's a number of them that we meet very quickly. There's a couple that we want to make sure they fit Arkansas, and we're going to, and those are guidelines, and they've made it clear that the states can use their own judgment as to what is needed. So we'll work with Dr. Smith and the two teams together, the economic team and the healthcare team, and try to come up with the right judgment for May 4th. You know, in terms of the testing itself, that's part of what we're going to go through with our working group this afternoon with our testing experts in the room together. I've done some brief checking with a lot of hospitals around the state, a number of them, and it appears to me that we've said that actually the demand has decreased for testing. In other words, people who are lining up and saying we need a test are fewer today than they were a week ago and 2 weeks ago. And so they actually have some inventory of tests, test kits in their hospitals that are available, and I want to be able to push to look at those and see how we can utilize those in a broader way. Now, Dr. Smith reminds me, as well as the hospitals, that we have to make sure that we have the testing capacity for our contact tracing, but also as we allow patients to come back to hospitals for different procedures, we want to test some of those. We have to have some inventory of testing capacity. But I think we can do more and be ready for some recommendations in that regard.
Right now?
Well, if you look at the number of cases, I hope we're at our peak and ready to go down, including the prison population, because these are really some escalating high numbers that we've seen the last couple of days. So I do hope we're at the peak and ready to go down. But like I said, tomorrow we're going to have more cases because the tests are still going to continue to be done in the prison systems. And as one leads to another, we will do more testing as needed. And so you've got to look at both that peak statewide, but also, I think in fairness to the state, you know, you've got to look at where we are in Pulaski County and Garland County and Benton and Washington County and South Arkansas in terms of their trend line, because these are in the prison environment, it is a secluded area that is more contained, and so you've got to look at it at both levels. I think in terms of the peak, again, I just hope that we have reached it, but next couple of days we'll probably see cases go up a little bit. Yes?
Governor, this is Chief Percy with 439.
All right.
Quick question for you. As you mentioned the prison population, I understand a lawsuit has been filed by civil rights lawyers accusing your administration of inadequate measures to prevent COVID-19 transmission, illness, and death in the state as far as correctional facilities. How do you respond to the allegations, and what measures are you taking to ensure the safety of prisoners and staff right now?
Well, I just was handed that lawsuit moments before I came in here, so I haven't read it in detail. I did scan through the back on where they asked for relief, and one of them was that we test inmates whenever they need it. Well, we've gone beyond that with our inmate population at Cummins, because you know, Dr. Smith and his team has been there and provided more testing for the inmates in Cummins than is available in the general population, because we're trying to curtail it. We're trying to know exactly where we stand in that prison environment. So we'll look at that, but I have full confidence in Dr. Smith and his team working with Secretary Kelly that they're going to extraordinary lengths to make sure the inmates are having the proper health protocols in that environment. And back to the table for a question. Yes.
Governor, do you have a plan on when you might open salons, barbershops, what phase that might be in?
The questions in reference to salons and barbershop. One, the demand is great. I'm hearing a lot from the public on that. And that's something that, one, Stuart Walton and his group are going to be looking at in terms of what the small business owner that has a barbershop or salon, what kind of protective measures and healthcare measures do they believe they can put into place. Obviously, Dr. Smith then will be reviewing that with public health team. So that's what we're going to be working on the next couple weeks as to, one, whether we are in a position in terms of our data that is a good measure to take. And then secondly, we will look at it in terms of what kind of protective measures can be in place. So that is work to be done, and we'll see where we land on that. Yes, ma'am.
So I wanted to get a total on the infections at Cummins. Would it now be around 900?
The total that we have for inmates as of 10 o'clock last night was 670. And I'm not sure how many more would be added to that, but I think probably some. In terms of the staff, we have at least 10 who have tested positive, but we are in the process of testing many more. So I'm not sure how many we'll add in terms of the staff, but we've really tested all the inmates that we're planning on testing at this point.
We were at 600 yesterday, which is why I asked.
Right, so we're at 670.
Numbers that came in were from Cummins.
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Most of those were from yesterday. We didn't have all those in the system. Remember, only 118 of the tests from yesterday were from Cummins. So what you're seeing added today are tests that were done yesterday. And some of the test results we'll report tomorrow will be the ones that have come in overnight, not yet entered into the system.
So has anyone been released from any of the other, you said you were going to look at that on a case-by-case, Governor, with the other inmates who might be close to leaving and in ill health?
Well, I recited yesterday, or maybe it was Sunday, some categories of inmates that the parole board had already acted upon. But in terms of the criteria that I gave them to look at of nonviolent, non-sex offenders, and inmates that are scheduled to be released within the next 6 months, that number is what they're looking at. That will be a longer process because you're looking at well over 1,000 of those. And of course, as they look at those, they will have to be looking at those from a public safety standpoint as well. And so that's a process that they'll go through. I have no additional statistics for you. Not that I'm aware of.
Who are you hearing the most from on just opening things up and relaxing the restrictions? Is there a particular industry group? Is it a reflection of who ended up on the task force?
No. We tried to be all inclusive in the task force. So that reflects all of Arkansas because, in Arkansas, we didn't close our retail shops. But some retail shops closed because customer demand was so low that they closed on their own. And so Mr. Walton is charged with is not just figuring out ways that we can re-engage and open some of the businesses that are closed, like the restaurants and others, but also how do you reinvigorate and build customer confidence in our retail shops so they feel safe in going into those again? Because some of them just had a reduced demand. And so these are steps that we have to take one at a time to be able to get there. In terms of, and Stuart, do you want to comment on this, what you've heard in terms of demand, or Dr. Smith, because we're getting pressure from everybody. But it's obviously the self-employed salon owners that they have not got their pandemic unemployment payments yet. So they're out there struggling, and this is how they make their livelihood. But it's also not just them. The demand is from the customer. You know, it's from, when can I go get my hair done again? And so, yeah, there's pressure there. But there's also, you know, great risk. We want to make sure it's safe. And so that's what we're trying to balance. You know, beyond that, you know, it is some of the small entrepreneurs that have businesses out there that the restaurants particularly you hear from. But they're all, you know, actually very reasonable and understand that the need for what we've done, but they do want to have a path forward. When are we going to get to it? How long do we have to go without a paycheck? How long do we have to go without a revenue stream? Do we need to close up our business permanently, or are we going to have a chance? And they're entitled to that kind of plan in the future to the extent we can give it to them under the current health challenges. Do you have anything else to add there, Nate?
This is Nate Smith, Secretary of Health again.
We have our group actively looking at all those areas. On the president's opening up America again, some of these businesses like the salons and barbershops, because they involve really fairly close proximity, physical proximity between people, they're not a phase one activity. But we will look and see if there are ways that we can do that safely, maybe arrange that those, you know, whether it's wearing masks or physically distancing, if there's ways that we can start those businesses back sooner than that. But I'm also hoping that when we enter phase one, if we do it correctly, we continue to do all these things that have got our numbers down to this point, that we'll continue to see a drop in our number of cases, and in 14 days we'll have met gating criteria to enter phase two. And if we do phase two correctly and continue the physical distancing, all these other things that have brought us success so far, if we can continue to be disciplined to do those things and we continue to see a drop in cases, then we can go into phase three and we can continue to add additional businesses safely.
Let's go remotely. Is there another question remotely?
Governor Rolly Lloyd with CHP 11. I'm curious to how frustrated you are with the White House right now after getting a map like that. And so what's your frustration level as you head into this working group meeting with the testing folks?
Well, I take some responsibility for that. I mean, I probably should have called the White House and looked at that a little bit more closely, but as you know, I like to share data points as I receive those, and so I'll take responsibility for that. In terms of the White House, I am curious as to exactly their source for that, and so we'll be communicating with them to get a little bit more understanding of where they're coming from on that. I do think they were talking about capacity, and it's probably a little bit of differences there, their view in capacity versus our view of reality. And so it's just a continued communication opportunity with the White House.
What do those numbers look like in terms of reality? Like, what's our capacity in those terms?
Capacity for testing?
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. You know, I'll check with a hospital. I check with a small hospital. I'll actually tell you, Gravett Hospital. I happen to be from Gravett, so I thought I would call the Gravett Hospital that goes by Ozark Community Hospital now, the name. And they have 500 test kits. So they have the capacity for 500 tests in this small rural hospital, and we were not aware of that. I was not aware of that. And so they were able to acquire some of that testing capacity on their own. And so you're asking what the inventory is and the ability. You have to go hospital by hospital as to where they are and what they've been able to acquire on their own, as well as their relationship with their commercial lab provider. You know, like Gravett Hospital has a commercial lab provider that they're working with, and they send it off for testing and they come back. But they've got a capacity for 500 tests, and I challenged them and I said, well, what if we reduce your inventory by 50%? That way we could do 250 more surveillance tests out there or broaden the criteria. Dr. Smith's going to get upset with me here real soon, I know, but you know, that's the kind of information that we have to try to pull together with our working group to know what we can expand out there, and that makes sense because you don't want to test everybody. You want to test those that are either symptomatic or somehow expanded a little bit broader than that, and we'll be working on what's the right criteria for that. I'm going to let Dr. Smith bring you up to date on Forest City. I think he's got more recent information.
Health Secretary Nate Smith.
Certainly.
Again.
I met with the second CDC team this morning, and they're preparing to go out, I believe, today or tomorrow. What they're trying to do is prepare everything that they need to go on site because they have a plan for testing. And we've discussed their plan and what they will do when they get that information. And so there's a lot of planning goes into it so they can hit the ground running, do the tests, get the results quickly, and then make a decision what the next steps are.
Are you concerned with their plan, whether their plan is adequate for the city?
I think their initial plan is adequate to give them the information they need. It may give them information that tells them they need to do more testing, though. And we shared with them extensively our experience at the Cummins unit and the really aggressive approach that we've taken there. And I really agree with the governor in terms of testing, but I think we need to lean into testing using our capacity in areas where we can gather the most actionable information. We need to do some testing amongst low-risk groups as well, but for example, the UAMS, they have their teams that go out to different parts of the state, and they're testing people who have symptoms. In some cases, they may pick up one or none. That's important information to know, but it doesn't mean that you need to keep testing in areas where you're getting zero cases.
Is there another question remotely?
Yeah,
this is Veronica Forte. Well, let's go to the one who hasn't asked a question yet.
Yeah, this is Veronica Ortega with Five News. I have a question about unemployment. A couple of weeks ago, it was mentioned that there would be upgrades made to handle the increased volume of unemployment claims. My question is, are those upgrades working? Because there are still people waiting outside of unemployment offices in long lines because they can't get a hold of someone over the phone, and they keep getting errors when they try to file a claim online.
The IT system has been upgraded. They've processed close to 150,000 claims, and so 150,000 people have successfully navigated the process to get their unemployment claims. Sometimes the person going on the system might make an error, might enter wrong data, or there could be some other glitch there. The call center is operational. The hours have been extended, so I would suggest that they give our office a call. We'll be glad to troubleshoot it for them if there's an issue there. We want to be helpful, but we've got our call center. We also have the online capability, and of course, we're trying to avoid the necessity of having to go into the Workforce Services office, and hopefully these other systems will work. I'll have to have Secretary Preston come back sometime and give a more recent update, but I know they're working very hard to make sure all those claims are processed.
And Governor, I'm just curious, Kate Forsey again, Walmart has required employees to wear face masks. Have you taken another look at requiring the same of Arkansans to wear face masks in public as opposed to just recommending it?
Actually, I've given that thought, but I like where we are right now because the people of Arkansas have been so responsive and responsible in terms of their own safety. When they can't socially distance, they wear their mask. I think Walmart has certainly set a good example, not requiring customers, although we're suggesting that be the case, but their personnel wearing masks, that's a way that they run their business, which is to make sure that the customer is first, that the customer is confident in meeting all the public health requirements. So I applaud them for that. I think that you'll see other retailers and industry leaders do the same. I expect, and here this is important to remind everybody again, whether you're in phase one, phase two, or down the road, the social distancing, the protective measures of wearing masks when you can't socially distance is a guideline that we want to continue with here in Arkansas. So the guideline is working, and I don't see us arresting people because they're not, but I do expect them to be wise and prudent. On the table. Let's come back to the table here.
The Washington, University of Washington Health Institute for Health Metrics, they were giving June 22nd, I think, is the day when Arkansas could safely start lifting some of these restrictions. I was wondering what you think about their projections.
Well, you know, I think as much about their modeling today as I did a month ago when they were saying we were going to have thousands of hospitalizations and you know, our peak was going to be out the roof. Now, I'm not treating that with disrespect, but their modeling adjusts every day. And I do remember whenever their peak was April 24th and it was April 29th, and then it was in May. And as we flatten, as we change things in Arkansas, their modeling changes a little bit. I know that Dr. Smith has paid close attention to it. I wanted you to comment on that as well.
There's Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
Certainly, the April 17th adjustment to the IHME model has our peak resource utilization at April 30th, but their new addition in there about June 22nd, that was based on getting down to one case per million, which would be, for Arkansas, three cases in the entire state. I don't think we have to wait till then before we reopen our economy. We certainly have the case follow-up and contact tracing capability to manage a lot more than three cases in the entire state.
All right, we'll take two more questions, one remotely and one at the table. Is there a question remotely?
I was wondering, Paige Torsey again, given that state exports are primarily agricultural, and in light of the coronavirus outbreak that processing plants in other parts of the country, I was wondering what steps have you taken to ensure food security and protection of processing plant workers here in Arkansas?
I want to make sure I understood the question. It's sort of going in and out, and somebody might have to help me, but are you asking about the protection of workers in processing plants in our agricultural community?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, we have, I believe it's over 60 processing plants in Arkansas, from beef to poultry, and they all understand how vital they are to the supply chain, so they are being very aggressive in taking precautions in their own facility. And so we've been fortunate that we haven't had an outbreak. I think we had one positive case that was dealt with, and they're back in operation. But they know the risk that's involved, and so they're, you know, doing temperature measurements. They're doing a screening of their employees. They're putting in their protective gear and the social distancing and the cleansing. And so I know that the health department has put out some guidelines for them, and I know that they're working very hard to do that and to keep their places safe for their workers. All right, so we'll take two questions here. You first, and then
So who on the task force would be representing people like the workers at the chicken plants, or unionized people, or nonprofits, or women and children? Who on your task force is representing those sorts of people?
Well, it was intentionally to put in the industry leaders and the associations of the employers is what we were looking at. So that's the focus of the Economic Recovery Task Force, are those that create the jobs, that create the businesses. It is important to listen to each of those that you mentioned in terms of their health and safety, and that's really falls in the Department of Health guidelines and that they provide. Jay?
This is for you or Ms. Walton, but what are some of those criteria that you want to see to go from phase one into phase two, or is there maybe just a length of time that you want to see pass over?
Well, let's get through phase one. And then we just want to stay on the right trajectory. We want to make the good judgments. And it's based upon, first of all, the health of our citizens. And then secondly, the health of our economy. We're just focusing on phase one. I want to invite Stuart to come and make a comment just on any cleanup. And then Dr. Smith also might have something on there.
This is Stuart Walton, chairman of the Arkansas Economic Recovery Task Force. He is also on the board of directors of Walmart.
Thank you. And, just to touch on your question, we've got religious leaders on the task force, and we've got a few folks from education as well. And we'll be sure to also reach out to people who are not on the task force, to some of the constituents that you mentioned, and we'll be looking forward to hearing from everybody. As far as businesses to open first, I think it's obvious that I need a haircut, so I'm squarely in that camp, probably with the governor as well. But we're excited to get underway. We're going to approach this with a lot of focus. We'll be precise, we'll be prompt, and we're looking forward to getting this going.
And Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
In terms of looking at our progression from phase into phase one, two, three, really we're going to be looking in two ways. One is sort of a broad, continue to look at our positivity rates, looking at our number of new cases. As long as that's continuing to trend down, then we can move from phase one to phase two to phase three. If these activities, though, cause an increase in cases, then we need to pause or maybe even take a step back. The gating criteria for each of these phases is basically the same. If you make a change and 2 weeks later you're still having a decreased number of new cases, then you can go on and make some additional changes. In addition to that sort of general looking at the situation, we're going to continue to do what we've been doing, is taking a spotlight and looking at areas. My goal is to find every infection, every case that's out there. I don't want any pockets of infection that we don't know about. So, for example, at Cummins, we've been very aggressive shining a bright spotlight on that so we know where all the cases are. If we see evidence of that elsewhere, we'll do the same. So we'll be aggressively managing these outbreak investigations, and if they can be contained and they don't spread into the community, they don't necessarily slow us down in what we're doing out in the general community.
Thank you all, and have a good afternoon.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. You are listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief recap of what we heard from the governor and state health officials today. There were 1,923 cases of the coronavirus identified in Arkansas yesterday. That has increased today by 304 cases, and that now brings the state to a total of 2,227 cases, of which about 1,375 are considered active. Now, a large part of that very drastic increase that we saw of the 304 additional cases that we have seen today, 262 of those are from the Cummins unit. That is a prison in southeast Arkansas near Pine Bluff, where as many as, I believe it is 670 inmates have tested positive, as well as 10 staff at that prison. We also heard one more person has died from COVID-19 in Arkansas. Since yesterday's briefing, that brings the total number of deaths from the disease to 43 in the state. And again, we heard 1,375 active cases of the total number of cases, which has surpassed the 2,000 mark, up to 2,227. 1,375 active cases. That includes 249 healthcare workers, 135 nursing home residents. And of those active cases of the coronavirus in Arkansas, 86 people are hospitalized, and 27 of whom are on a ventilator. Again, the latest news from the outbreak of the coronavirus at the Cummins Unit prison in Arkansas, the maximum security unit near Pine Bluff, an additional 262 inmates have tested positive for the coronavirus there. That brings the total number of inmates that have tested positive at that prison to 670, as well as 10 staff members at that prison. Again, you have been listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock. We'll be back tomorrow with our latest coverage on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas, as well as live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's daily briefing. This is KUAR News.